This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Hour number two of Ben and Woods, Wednesday morning. Well, Brett Boone joining us at the bottom of the hour. Have we ever asked Booney if he had a home run robbed over the wall by someone else in an actual game?
So. I don't remember.
Wonder if it ever happened to him.
Have we ever asked him about Ricky?
No, I would love to talk to him about Ricky.
I could listen to Ricky stories all day long.
He will join us coming up at 7:40 this morning.
Some interaction, I'm sure.
Of course, we played in the same division.
I don't know if they were ever teammates. I think they were in Seattle. I think they were together.
Was Ricky? I don't think Ricky was on the Padres the year that Mooney was, though.
I don't know. We'll find out. If not, I'm sure he knows stories.
Mooney will tell us. Some guys will be like, I can't tell you that Ricky story. I got some good ones. I can't tell you that
one either. Sit down with Greg Vaughn at Fantasy Camp and he wants to get some Ricky Henderson stories.
Yeah, we've asked him on the air, and he's like, I can't tell you that one. Because he lived in Greg Vaughn's guest house or whatever.
They rode to the ballpark together every day. He's like, wow, dude.
Wait, what'd you do last night?
It's unbelievable, man. It's just the greatest.
Last thoughts on yesterday's game. Want to give credit to Adrian Morejon in particular. So Bradley Rodriguez comes into the bottom of the seventh. Xander boots one. And that's not the way to get started. And then the single by Torrens puts two on. And they go to the lefty Adrian Morejon to get presumably five outs in that situation. Morejon closes out the seventh by getting Lindor on a pop out and striking out Bichette. Bring him back for the eighth. Luis Robert Jr. gets him. So now it's a two-run game at 4-2. They get the tying runs on base, and he comes through with another big strikeout to end the inning. But he worked hard.
He did.
My guess is that Adrian Morejon, they would like to give him the day off today after what he had to go through yesterday. And then in the ninth inning, Manny Machado, who we, I think, talked about yesterday, it would be nice to see him
get an extra
get
base
going. Hit. Three hits and a home run, his 24th of the season.
He is how many from 400? Like seven or eight away?
He's getting close. I don't know where exactly.
I thought it was seven, but... and then somebody in the chat said he's eight away, so I wasn't sure. I can look that up, though. But even I can find that stat.
I hopefully a sign that Manny is heating up, because they could certainly use one of those patented Manny Machado.
393, so seven away.
Hot stretches coming up.
And I love a hot stretch.
And then Mason Miller did what Mason Miller does. Almost killed Bo Bichette.
He did. That's the tough part about Mason Miller is that, well, he's Mason Miller, but it will get away from him sometimes, right? Uh-huh. Like, this one, it will get away. And that, like, 103 over the head will... You might soil yourself.
Randy Johnson didn't have a lot of control at times, and that... That's like terrible. Like, you're fighting for your life.
And boy, makes that slider look so much better.
Yeah, I was watching with my son, and then the next pitch was just a nasty slider for a strike that Bo Bichette was just like diving out of the way of, and we just both laughed. Like, that is so unfair for him to throw 103 at your head and then have one that looks like it's coming at your head that ends up over the middle of the plate as you're cowering in fear in the batter's box. I mean,
just take it the other way, guys.
How on earth can you have any success as a Major League Baseball player when that is in your head?
It's jarring. Like, the guy hit the ball, the leadoff hitter, I think it hit the deep fly to center. I mean, deep. He was 15 feet from the wall, but it's still jarring. When you see someone get a barrel on Mason Miller, like, you're like, whoa, what's wrong with Mason Miller tonight? Right. Like, it's so, so crazy to watch that guy pitch. So, very lucky to have him.
All right. Paulie has indeed gathered all the calls of Fernando Tatis Jr.'s Grand Slam robbing catch. We heard Jesse's, which was fantastic. Do you want to play Jesse's one more time?
I was going to start with that.
Really, just had the pacing and the drama of it all. Great job once again by our Jesse Agler.
I was actually texting with Jesse last night because he did get the incorporator, and we'll play that in this segment as well, but he got it in like in the ninth inning, late in the game. So I was texting him afterwards, and I said, dude, I loved your call. I was watching on TV when it happened, but I heard your call. And he goes, oh, really? Like, I appreciate that, but... He goes, I don't like those calls because I can't really see what happened. It's chaotic. And I go, I had a smile on my face listening to it because of the chaos. So if you missed it in the wrap-up, here's Jesse Agler last night.
Here's the 1-0. Lindor hits it in the air deep down the right field line. Fernando all the way into the corner. At the wall. Leaps up. And
Did he catch it? He's holding. He's waiting. He did! What a play!
Yes.
Fernando went up over the right field wall and took a grand slam away. Of all the robberies he's ever made, this one is the best!
Wow. That's an amazing call right
and
there.
I think he played it right, because remember we had the Jackson Merrill one just a couple of weeks ago where he went over, had it in his glove.
Yes.
And then it wasn't in the glove when he came back. So you can't be 100% sure, even if you see it go into the glove, that it's still in there until he shows the baseball.
Tony,
did he catch it? He's holding. He's waiting.
He
did! What a play!
I like the Tony. Oh.
Into the corner. At the wall.
Yeah, that's more than just the that we get for the long, the well-struck baseballs.
Freaking baseball. There's nothing better, man. Nothing.
All right, let's do a little differently today. Let's compare Booth versus Booth.
Okay.
Love Booth.
So you heard the radio call for the Padres. Let's go to Mets radio. Honestly, I gave this one a pretty good grade.
Here's the 1-0. Swing on a liner in the air down the right field line. Slicing towards the corner. Tatis over. Jumps. And did he make the catch or is it a home run?
I think he caught it, Howie. He just showed it to the umpire. He's got it. Wow. He robbed that home run. It was going into the first row.
Wow. He leaped over the top of the right field fence, and the reason I held up is because we didn't even get a clear signal from Edwin Jimenez for a while. But we're watching the replay now, and yep, he went way over the wall and took a grand slam away from Luis Torrens.
Great call until it was actually Francisco Lindor.
Yeah.
Torrens was the batter before, so he got a little out of order. But other than that, Howie Rose with a very decent call on the radio side for the Mets.
Let's go back to the Padres for the TV call. Don Orsillo, of course.
Fly ball to right field. To the corner goes Fernando. At the wall, he lifts it.
Grinning from ear to ear in here, man.
Do this all day. And then the Mets television booth. Here's their viewpoint of everything.
And Lindor flies one down the right field line. Over toward the corner goes Tatis near the wall. Leaping and he caught it. Wow. My God. Fernando Tatis Jr. taking a grand slam away from Francisco Lindor with a brilliant leaping catch against the fence.
The platinum, two-time platinum award winner.
It's respect right there.
Yeah.
Did you hear the story about Fernando when he started learning to rob home runs? He was 10 years old, living in New York. His dad played for the Mets, and they lived in an apartment loft or something, and there was a wall in there that was taller than he was. And so he used to just pretend to rob home runs and like at home in his apartment or whatever. And he got to do it in New York on the biggest stage last night, which was just
amazing. We had about a 6.5-7 foot fence in our backyard when I was growing up. And man, when we played wiffle ball, I just dreamed of the chance.
Robbing one.
It's got to be one that's just within like a foot of going over the wall where I can jump and grab it every time. I thought about that.
With your vertical, I can't even imagine how many you snatched back out in the yard.
None.
Got the chance.
All right. So Pauly had told me.
This one was tough.
I don't know if we're going to be able to get the Spanish language call. But he often obviously does, especially when Eduardo calls a great walk-off. But as Pauly pointed out, it's easy to find a walk-off because it's right at the end of the broadcast. But in Spanish,
like,
as
I can go to the end, I can sift through and find where they get excited. I'm like, all right, that's the walk-off. But when
other than like listening to the whole game, how do you know where the second inning is in the broadcast?
MLB TV does not sync like the audio with the video feed when you're going back on replay. So it's just an audio file, like a bar that you can scroll through and you have to just find it. Now, they also include an hour pregame show in the broadcast. So it's like a 4-hour file. And I don't know most of the words that are being said, so I have to sift through it. But I did remember that Fernando's catch did end an inning. So I found the start of the game and just sifted 10-second skips at a time until I found a commercial break. And then I would go back a couple of seconds, and I was able to find the bottom of the second inning, when Fernando Tatis Jr. did this.
Suelta el zurdo, Lindor conecta, un elevado, va al rincón peligroso, en el right field, frente al poste, salta Fernando, y esa bola, parece que Tatis la ha capturado, perdimos el ángulo, sí, 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 de Grandes Ligas, jugadón, robando amigos, este trueno, a Francisco Lindor, y elimina la entrada de los Mets.
Didn't sound like Eduardo was able to see much from his point of view.
He
at
might
all.
Not have the best booth in New York for the angle, but he did know it was dangerous because I heard him say "peligroso" off the bat of Lindor. Like,
suelta el zurdo,
trouble.
Lindor conecta, un elevado, va al rincón peligroso en el right field.
Peligroso.
I do miss, though, Paulie. We used to be able to get the Korean language calls of some of these, I know we haven't had those in a long time. Did they just stop posting them, or what happened?
Yeah, it's been a lot harder to find those calls. We would see them on social media when we had Ha-Sung Kim, and they were covering every game that Ha-Sung Kim played. I don't know why they don't do that for other players, but it was just Ha-Sung Kim. So it's been a lot tougher to find those calls, but I wanted to get this one in for you guys.
강동으로 땅볼 선도 찍고 2루 갑니다. 그리고 1루까지 1루에서 아웃이에요.
자 2루 2루
2루 2루에서 아웃인가요?
아웃이에요.
트리플 플레이.
오 어떻게 이런 판단을 하죠?
말도 안 되는 엔딩이 나왔습니다. 트리플 저는, 플레이로 경기 종료.
저는 이거 제가 마차도였으면 1루로 던졌어요.
So good.
Are we sure that that was the Grand Slam?
Yeah, it was a little bit muted for them.
Wood seems pretty sure.
All maybe they're Mets, Met fans?
It's possible. The Mets' Korean broadcast of the game? Yeah. But
I'm just kidding, guys. That was the Korean call of the Padres turning the triple play to clinch a playoff berth.
I got you.
2024. Ben was on to me.
Sounded a little off.
How do you know? Just the lack of excitement?
It just didn't sound quite right for a Grand Slam robbery. It was something exciting, clearly.
It's fair.
Well, I got you.
All of the Korean calls that I've had saved over the years, they're either kind of muted like that, or as soon as the ball is hit, they just lose their minds.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic stuff, man. Great, great win.
Tatis 타고입니다. Yeah, Tatis, San Diego 최고의 슈퍼스타가 돌아왔습니다.
Incredible. Yeah. Should we be playing Sung Moon Song at short more? Maybe.
Just to get more of those calls?
More of those calls and for maybe defensive purposes at this point.
You know, Xander's been very solid most of the year, and he goes through a couple of periods
He's up there, I think, in DRS for shortstops. That guy sends out the stats every day, the league leaders and this and that. And Xander was up there. But, yeah, man, it's, you know, again, it doesn't have to be spectacular. That's one he's got to make. In the big leagues, man, that's like a 100%er, right? Like, that's one, the six hopper right at you, and you just boot it. It happens, but it's scary, man, because it kind of let the Mets back
the
in.
Thing. It's going to happen to every shortstop in the league. At some point, you're going to boot one or two over the course of a year. We'll remember them when they happen.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, percentage wise, his numbers are bad this year in fielding percentage or anything else, but you always remember the mistakes that he makes, which is a little frustrating. All right, before we get to Don't Do This, let's pay off our incorporator from yesterday when Jesse joined us. Paulie, if you could set it up for everybody.
All right, Ben.
All right, Paulie, just quickly, let's get to it.
Tuft Hunter.
Tuft Hunter, Jesse.
Tuft Hunter.
It's a British slang term for a social climber or snob who tries hard to be friends with wealthy or titled people. A Tuft Hunter.
Tuft Hunter.
That's a great word.
It's a great word. Never heard it before.
Now, I love when Jesse does this. He switched it up on us just a little bit. That is a noun, I believe. He made it into a verb.
Tuft hunting.
But we go to the bottom of the ninth inning. I actually had just gotten into the car, and I was like, I haven't gotten a text from Jesse yet, but I heard this one live. Lead off at bat of the bottom of the ninth inning.
All right, Ben.
Sorry.
1-0 pitch, way high, hitting 267, 8 homers, 29 runs batted in. Got the start at first base last night, was 0-for-3 with a strikeout. And Young, like Terrence, has really kind of had a scratch and claw for everything in his major league career. Never looking for attention, no tough hunting, just trying to get there. 2-0 in the air, center field, straightaway and deep. Merrill drifting back, looking for the wall, and on the warning tracker right in front of it. He's there to make the catch, one away.
Really well done.
Yeah. They talked about Luis Torrens a little bit during the broadcast as well. And I had remembered that the Padres picked him up as a Rule 5 draft pick. Remember, they had to stash him on the roster. I didn't realize it was all the way back in 2017. When they did that,
like is that
was
right? Did almost, we get him back after that?
I know he was then he went down to the minors for a year after they had put him on the roster for the year because they had to keep him. Then he went back to the minors. Then he came back up to the Padres later, and then obviously he's moved on and I think hit a few teams since then. But that's been almost a decade.
No, we had him in 20.
Yeah, no, he was back on the team in 20, but the first year was even earlier.
Yeah, 17.
Yeah, 17.
negative war, and then back in the minors
for 2 years, and then came back up in the pandemic season. So, yeah, Luis Torrens is a blast from the past, but he has been on fire lately for the Mets.
Good for him.
Andy Green's not moving him up in the lineup. Oh, that reminds me. Did we hear from Andy Green after the game, former manager of Fernando Tatis Jr., about what he did to his Mets last night?
You know, almost just tipped the cap to an amazing performance from an individual player over there.
Yeah, impressive and annoying, both of those things. It was really good. Put two good swings on, started the game off, and there's probably enough superlatives already thrown at the robbed home run, so it's impressive.
I love it.
Impressive and annoying.
Yeah. It's him in a nutshell.
That's how I define Ben. Impressive but annoying.
Yeah, we'd say that all about each other, all of us.
Andy Green's in an interesting spot. They've already told him, you're not getting the job next year.
That's stinks.
You are simply a placeholder until we go out and hire someone in the offseason.
Maybe it's fine. Maybe he doesn't want
to. Takes a little pressure off.
A lot of pressure off. Yeah. What do you care? I want to win. I'm a competitor, but... You're not going to give it to me anyway. If they go 35-0, they've said we're not going to give you this gig, which is
if
tough.
If they went 35-0, they probably would.
You'd have to. But that way you're kind of freed up knowing, oh, my life doesn't hang in the balance here. And he'll go back to doing what he was doing before he replaced Carlos Mendoza.
Farm director for the New York Mets.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but...
The A.J. Preller tree stretches far and deep, my friends. The roots go deep.
Kind of weird, though, that they just are, like, so open about, hey, by the way, just so you know, don't get any ideas. Like, you're not going to be the guy.
Don't get super excited. And if you're a player, aren't you like, yeah, sure, boss. Whatever you say, pal. you're not going to be here.
I mean, it's like in any other job, like in our job. Can you imagine working at a radio station? Hey, our morning show, the guy, we fired him. We're going to make you the morning show, but through the end of the year. Don't get any ideas, though, because January 1, you are not going to be doing this show.
Well, look at you now.
Exact same thing happened to you. That was my job, was just now a temporary fill-in while we look for the real host.
We are not going to hire you, though, Ben.
Yeah. Here I am.
There you are.
Speaking of old friends, Luis Torrens, Andy Green, Robert Stock, another old friend. We'll talk about the matchup today against Michael King a little bit later in the program. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one prize, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity. Imagine that. And when we come back, don't do this. Woods, it's definitely a don't do this. It's also something that you said you've probably done before yourself.
I can't say that I haven't with any certainty.
That is coming up next, broadcasting live from our Bill House studios. We know how. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
All right, you got an early game today and no game tomorrow. So if you're looking for something to do on a Wednesday evening, a Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, whenever, 7 Mile Casino is open 24-7 for great card action, California-style blackjack, Texas Hold'em poker, Pai Gow and Baccarat. And Woods, just tell everybody how great it is inside 7 Mile Casino.
Well, number one, don't tell me what to do. But number two, I will, actually, because I love 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Friendly people. Easy parking is a big one. I mean, it's just such a big one. It's finding parking at a big casino is panic-inducing sometimes. Yes, you pull right in, you park, you walk in, and no huge valet line or anything like that. Just walk in, go play some cards, have some lunch, have some dinner.
Yeah, it's bright, it's airy, there's windows, there's views. Like a card room that can look out over San Diego Bay. The Coronado, it's absolutely gorgeous. Out on the patio is fantastic. And again, so easy to get to. It is right off the 5 freeway. You get off at E, you're already on Bay Boulevard. It's that frontage road that runs just west of the 5, and you'll see it right there. 7 Mile Casino, make the trip today. It's just 7 minutes from downtown.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot, you moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Ben and Woods brought to you by David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. And I will get us started with something that was causing a lot of social media consternation yesterday. I believe it started with a tweet from someone named Dave Mason from Global Sportsbook and Casino. Simply said, Little League World Series USA champ and list the odds for all the teams to win all the way down to Washington plus 2,500 to your favorites, California. Yep, Sweetwater Valley Little League, the favorites at plus 200 just ahead of Texas at plus 250. And
pretty good odds, actually. I should probably get
everybody. Everybody kind of lost their minds like, hey, we can't be gambling on Little League baseball. That's just wrong. It's just wrong, right?
Was this something last year or the year before that?
Yes.
Or the year before that? I feel like we probably had this conversation.
The reason I say that is because I might have done this a couple years ago. I don't know with any certainty that I did.
But you can't sit here and confidently
get on a soapbox and say that I didn't do it. I can't. I think I might have. Now, you guys remember, it was $20 bets here and there, and the biggest I would go was like 100. So I knew what I had to spend.
Sure.
I never got deep into it, but I just remember the feeling of every day being like, well, I can't watch sports unless I got some action on it. And you guys remember, I bet on preseason football and won, by the way.
Yeah, but that's still different than 12-year-olds.
It's the NFL, right, but I'm pretty sure I did place a bet on the Little League World Series.
So
did you DM them after you lost?
Well, it was a little punk. It was a story last year, too, front office sports reporting that they are aware that there are online sites that offer odds on Little League World Series games. They do say that licensed U.S. sports books have policies that prohibit it, but they can't stop international sports books, including Bovada, from putting odds on and taking bets on the Little League World Series.
You know what I say? I say, give me the over! No matter the juice.
All right, as Paulie, as you just mentioned, a tweet from John Anthony says, why are all these people freaking out about odds on the Little League World Series? As long as you aren't DMing the kids to go play in traffic after, who cares?
Well, I mean, people probably are.
Yeah, that's the problematic. If you want to win or lose $20 and because you're watching it on a TV, I don't think it's going to harm humanity. It's the fact that you have some losers and degenerates who are then going to try to find the kids on social media and be mad at them is what is the problematic part about this.
It's also betting on children.
It is also.
That's pretty problematic as well.
Really gross.
Yeah. But go Sweetwater Valley.
I'm going to give Taylor and Bo some gloves and some headgear, and we'll do a big fight in the backyard. You guys can come by and
stream it online.
Yeah.
What are the odds? What would you say? Bo obviously is older.
Taller.
He's
got longer reach. Like, Taylor's pretty tough.
Plus,
give me the over!
No,
like plus 250 Bo and minus 250 Bo and like plus 175. Taylor's
one,
fierce.
Maybe minus 100.
Ooh. Bo. So pretty even then.
Fairly even.
That's an even bet.
Yeah, I'd say.
Wow.
I'd say. With headgear and gloves and stuff, he's something.
Okay.
He's something. Neither of them super tough, you know, so it may not last. I'd take the under on rounds.
If it
was 2.5 rounds, I'd take the under on that.
So it's going to end in a TKO or a decision?
Probably,
so TKO?
Probably a crying TKO would be my guess. I don't think it's real great to be betting on Little League
even
baseball.
Though you may have done it.
I might have. I'm not saying I did, but I'm not saying I didn't. So I don't want to pass judgment on anybody. This is a crazy story that I saw. How do you say his last name?
Kyrgios.
Tennis player, a Wimbledon finalist, Kyrgios. He has been suspended by the ITIA, the International Tennis Integrity Agency, Ben, after he tested positive for
PEDs.
No, you like PEDs. PEDs. You said PEDs are fine. Cocaine. You love the cocaine.
You don't see a lot of suspensions for cocaine.
Do you know why? Because it only takes...
I love the cocaine.
Yeah.
Cocaine.
It only takes like 3 days to get out of your system. So it's. I'm sure there are lots of people that do it that don't get busted because it only takes like 3 days.
How much cocaine is a lot of cocaine?
Right. He's obsessed. So he got suspended. And this is kind of sad, man.
Cocaine.
He said it's a wake-up call for him. And he said he felt helpless and alone after injuries have kind of derailed his career. It's kind of it reminds me of, like, the truest one that got away is Josh Hamilton, in my mind. You know, when he got hurt and didn't have a support system around him and just started down that path and got back. And then fell, and then got back, and then fell. So, you know, his whole life had been training and playing and blah, blah, blah. And you had a little more time on your hands, you know, and this is what happened.
So, are we assuming he just got really unlucky? The testing is very random.
Yeah.
Didn't happen to know that someone would show up at his door, and he's like, oh, no, last night is going to come back to haunt me here.
Yeah, this man. He said, it's no excuse what I did. I did it. Number one, he wasn't like, oh, I didn't do it. I don't know how this got there, which I respect that a lot.
Yeah.
He said, the injuries have taken a huge toll on me, both physically and mentally. My body hasn't been able to do what my mind expects it to do. Cocaine's not going to help that, though, by the way. It's not going to help your body recover.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Where you can play tennis again. That I can promise you. But he's going in to rehab. 28 days. He's going to step away from social media and public life while he focuses on getting himself right. So I wish him the very best.
All right. Finally, some doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
And just a heartfelt congratulations on an incredibly courageous and inspiring story. Trey Mancini, who, of course, came back from colon cancer to resume his Major League Baseball career, winning AL Comeback Player of the Year in 2021, and then ended up in the minor leagues for a few years, finally got back again to the big leagues recently. Had a five-game stint with the Los Angeles Angels just this last, earlier this month, but he says this is it. He is announcing his retirement officially from Major League Baseball, and just incredible. I've heard nothing but great stories about the kind of person that Trey Mancini is, not just because he beat cancer, but everyone just said was an unbelievable teammate, great positive guy, and an inspiration to people who he played with throughout his career.
And I can say 100% the video of him and Bobby Dickerson teaching him how to play first base, because I think he was an outfielder before, and they wanted to teach him how to play some first base. And Bobby Dickerson teaching him how to play first is 1,000% my most viewed video ever. Catching the ball with your head, get your face behind the ball. I mean, it's been instrumental in my entire life watching that video, and Trey Mancini's in it, and I have just always thought he was a great dude. So good for him. Wish him well.
Did get a World Series ring helping the 22 Houston Astros win the title well.
It was like a trade deadline acquisition, I think.
So congratulations and best wishes to Trey Mancini, and that is Don't and Do This for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
When we come back, it is Big League Wednesday. We will be joined by our friend Brett Boone, host of the Brett Boone Podcast, all coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
But first, gang, you know, now, today, this weekend, whatever you're thinking, if you're looking for a new vehicle, would highly like to, I'd like to steer you in the direction down to Sedano Ford. Back to school savings event at your local and veteran-owned Sedano Ford in La Mesa. Such an awesome dealership that they have. Their repair center is like the coolest place you've ever seen. It's clean, beautiful. These guys know what they're doing. Right now, you can drive off in a brand new 2026 Ford F-150 STX. It is just $349 a month. The 2026 Bronco Sport Big Ben, also $349 a month, along with the 2026 Ford Explorer Active at also $349 a month. So to sum it up for you, three great Ford vehicles, one amazing payment, just $349 a month. And you can take advantage of 0.7% APR financing, plus no payments for 90 days on select new Ford models. Do not wait. These offers will not last forever. So stop by your local and veteran-owned Sedano Ford in La Mesa. Let them know Woodsy sent you down there. More details can be found at SedanoFord.com. Once again, SedanoFord.com.
Got some early Padres baseball for you this morning. 10-10 first pitch.
I just saw Ty France on MLB Network. That's cool.
Had him on live from the field, City Field in New York, pregame.
Early turnaround for those fellas.
We got a big league Wednesday as well, though.
Yeah.
Right now, in fact, let's go out. We are joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone, host of the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring weekly interviews with the most notable names in baseball. Insider calls are presented by Grainger, with professional-grade products for every industry. Grainger has you covered. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Booney, what about Fernando Tatis Jr. last night? You don't see many more individual performances impact a game like that one.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Hitting a homer, hitting another homer, robbing a homer.
Grand slam.
Yeah, it's you know, it's cool to see Padres early in the year when they went on that run, and we kept saying this is great.
Yeah.
But how are they doing it?
Right.
You know, and you kind of, when your home team's doing it and you're kind of wondering what, you just kind of shut up and accept it and go, don't worry about how they're doing it. They're just doing it. Then kind of reality hit with that starting rotation and the offense kind of just was dismal. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, it's been like a resurgence. The big boys are starting to pull their weight, and the trade deadline and the moves that they made, I think, really kind of propelled that clubhouse, gave them a burst of adrenaline, and they're playing really well. I mean, it's fun to watch these guys play. Now you feel like they every night they're going to win, and I don't know, we got a pretty good run going, 8-2 in their last 10, and looking like the Padres you kind of expected, plus the new additions, and then guys in the bullpen coming. You know, Adam still to me is key when you can get him back. Probably now they're looking at first September, maybe sometime
like mid-September. I think, yeah,
in mid-September. Yeah, I think he's still big, and the other guys, Andujar, Taylor, are they going to be back? And Musgrove, you'd love to see it. You love to see it. I think he's had three rehab starts, but I can't put my eggs in that basket because he's been off so long, and who knows what the recovery time is going to be once he gets pitching at the big league level again.
Booney, we all watch multiple sports, and you'll see in basketball, a guy will take over a game. I was just watching the Bad Boys documentary, and Isaiah Thomas on a broken ankle essentially takes over the game with 19 points in 3 minutes or something to propel them to the next round. And we see it in football all the time. You see it in soccer at times. Baseball is a little harder. There's some more guys out there, and the ball's got to be hit your way or you got to swing at your pitch. Fernando Tatis Jr. kind of took that game over last night. I know that's happened before. You probably have done it yourself, but is there one that jumps to mind where you're like, oh, it was Griffey or Ichiro or me or whatever, like where a guy just went, oh, you're like, bro, that's like the best game I've ever seen, offensively and defensively.
Well, let's talk about me. No, I'm kidding.
Let me tell you about this one time.
Let me tell you about this one time when I was really good. No, it does happen on occasion. Usually it's the, you know, a prominent player. Look at the kid the other day in St. Louis.
God, that's unbelievable.
What he did, and he's gone 0-16.
It's the worst sport, man.
He should have retired.
I hate it.
Not only did he hit three home runs, I think he hit three home runs in a row to start. I mean, and who does that in the history of the planet? It is. It's a tough game. But, yeah, you have those game once in a while where you just come back and you puff your chest out. Your teammates look at you and you go, I was pretty good today, wasn't I? And then hopefully the next day you can pass it on and somebody else can do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as a game coming to mind, no, I don't have one as far as that really stands out above and beyond. Maybe a game I was involved in, and from a personal standpoint, there's been a lot of dominant performances on the other side, other teams, other games that I wasn't involved in. But Maybe at Chicago years ago when Mike Cameron hit four home runs in a row.
And robbed a Grand Slam too, right?
Was it a Grand Slam?
I think it was.
It might have been. I mean, but that day was just – because I got to witness it. And I've seen – you hit two home runs in a game, and you are pretty damn good. You hit three? That's ridiculous. Four is a different level. You know, that's just things that don't happen. I think that's why it's happened 12 or 13 times. But I remember after that game, and I had a pretty darn good game myself. I hit a couple homers, four ribbies, and – Cammy comes in after the game, and we just kind of made that triangle, you know, where you kind of salute your teammate, and I'm just not worthy. I mean, it's almost like I went 0-for-4 with three punch outs, seeing four home runs walk into the clubhouse. So that's from a dominant standpoint. I've seen that a lot of dominant pitching performances. I just a couple weeks ago, we went up to Seattle, and I was talking to the big unit, Randy Johnson, and I remember finishing the conversation, some other guys were in the conversation, and I remember they were talking about great pitchers and Maddux and Smoltz. And I said, I'll tell you, for my money, the most dominant pitcher I ever played behind was Randy Johnson. As far as if he's on tonight, you've got no chance, and I don't care who you are on the offensive side. I don't care if you line up the All-Star team. You're done tonight. He was that dominant.
Booney, who was pitching that game in Chicago? Fantasy Camp Woods? I mean, it was like six homers.
So he did not have a catch in that game, like a robbery or whatever.
Okay.
But he did hit four home runs in four straight at-bats, two in the first inning, one in the third, and one in the fifth. And then in his fifth at-bat, he flew out to the warning track of dead center field.
Correct. I was on first base.
Oh, my God.
And I remember Paul Konerko was at first. And I looked at him. I said, Paul, and Cammy got to a 3-0 count, I remember, for that fifth at bat. And I looked at him. I looked at Konerko. And, you know, back then, rules were real unwritten rules. We were bombing them. 3-0 count when you have a 10-run lead, you don't swing. And I looked at Konerko. I said, Paulie, if there's ever an exception to the rule, it's right here. He goes, Booney, if he swings right now and hits a homer, I got no problem
with it. Oh, I love
and
it.
And I knew Cammy was going to take, and he did. And then he got a I remember it vividly, I think, until Paulie goes and fact checks me. But I think 3-1, he fouled it straight back. And then 3-2, he hit a bullet to right field. It was a line drive, and it went over my head. I'm at first, and I knew right when he hit it. I said, that ball's hit good, but that's going right to the warning track. That's not a homer, and it did. So he came probably as close as anybody ever, because five's never been done to hitting five. But it was a pretty special day. Like I said, I was sitting there with a couple homers in my pocket, four ribbies, and after the game, I'm looking at him like, I stink.
Yeah,
I'm horrible. You know, it's kind of your day. So anyway,
I'm reading about that game right now, and you're being a little modest. First pair of teammates to ever go back to back in the same game twice.
That's
Booney and
so
Cameron.
Cool, man.
You guys went back to back twice.
I think in the same inning.
Oh, same inning.
Same
both
inning,
in the
yes.
first inning. You
good.
Both
same
you hit two in the first. He hit two in the first.
Correct.
That's insane.
And then I punched out. And then I punched out again. So I'm like 2-for-4 with four RBIs, and I'm not getting on base for Mike.
What was the final score?
He's got four homers. He's got four ribbies because I hit two homers, and then I didn't I did reach base. I think I walked my last bet and when he lined out. I don't know what the final score was.
What was the final score, Paulie?
13-1, I believe.
Good Lord.
So still negative 10 run differential when combined with yesterday's Mariners game that they lost 22-0.
Oh, my God. 22. But, you know, when you see a score like that nowadays, you just know it turned into the
position player pitching.
Position player went into the game in the sixth. I don't know. They need to be able to change that. I don't think you can throw out the position player too early anymore. They should leave that for the ninth.
I think they did. It was the eighth. You can't bring him in until the eighth, and you're down 10, I think, is the rule, and they did. And,
oh, okay.
Now, Rivas gave up eight in the eighth or something, or nine. It was crazy. Brett Boone is with us on our SDCCU fan hotline. It's not Big Bang Banking. It's better. Just to keep it on the same topic, do you remember ever having a home run actually robbed from you? And if so, who was it? What was your reaction?
Robbed from me.
Yes. Someone went over the wall, took one away from you.
Devon White took a couple away from me.
He's good, man.
If I had to argue, I'd say Steve Finley took one away from me.
Yep.
Jermaine Dye, 100%, took one away from me in right field. And I had two taken away from me by umpires, but one given. How about that?
Oh, okay.
home run in Montreal. I hit the fair pole. They called it foul. And then I hit the next pitch up against the wall and hit off the guy's glove for a double. They called it an error. So I went from a homer to an 0-for-1.
Oh, you!
I had an inside error?
Ouch.
Yes, I had an inside the park home run that I was clearly safe in Milwaukee. It had been my second homer of the game. He called me out. I was safe. And then the last one, Wrigley Field. I had a great day there. I had two home runs. I came up my last at bat. I hit a bomb foul. I mean, 5 feet foul. I turned around, walked back to home plate. The umpire starts waving home run. I run around the bases. It was so foul. And back then, they didn't have replay. I'm sitting in the dugout tapping my feet, go, just, hey, as soon as they announce the next hitter, it's over. It's in the books. They announce the next hitter. It was unbelievable. And it was so foul. The next day, I get to the park. I get announced. I come to the plate. And the whole crowd stands up and starts yelling, fair ball, fair ball. And it's unbelievable.
That's incredible. Yes,
those are my quick stories of robberies. But I don't know, Paulie, figure out who robbed me. I think the ones I named are pretty accurate. I'm getting older, but I think it's pretty accurate.
We were talking. We got a few minutes left with Booney here. Just a quick. We made the comparison of Fernando to Ricky Henderson Jr. or Ricky Henderson, Fernando Tatis Jr. to Ricky Henderson because of the flair that they played with. They were just incredible leadoff hitters.
The talent to back it up.
Any Ricky stories that you like?
You crossed paths. You were on the Padres the year he was on the Mariners, then he went to the Mariners when you went to the Padres, or something like that. So did you get a lot of time with Ricky?
Ricky was one of those guys. No, I played against him a little bit, never played with him. And one of those guys I couldn't stand. I mean, I was kind of a jerk myself. No, not really. I was a fake jerk. Everybody thought I was. But I played against Ricky quite a bit, and he rubbed me wrong. I respected the hell out of him, and I thought, this is a great player. But it just bugged me the way he went about his business and this and that. I fast forward, good buddy of mine, still to this day, Trevor Hoffman, and me and Trev were on a trip one time, and he says, Booney, I just want to tell you, you know, I know you don't like Ricky that much. He said, he's the one of the best, if not the best teammate I've ever had. I said, really? And for Trevor to say that, he's kind of a low key. Trevor's not a showboat guy, you know? And he goes, he's one of the best teammates I've ever had. I started to hear that around. Fast forward, I'm working with the A's years later. We're at instructional ball, I think. And Ricky is a special assistant. I'm a special assistant. I had one of the funnest 3 to 4 weeks, I forget how long I was there, with Ricky Henderson, getting to know him. First time we hung out, and love him. I mean, rest in peace, but what an awesome guy. And all these stories you just don't know. You know, when you play against guys, you love to hate them from afar. And then you get to know them, and they're really good guys. Ricky's one of those guys, one of the greatest players ever, but just had me cracking up every day. Because you hear about the stories that he talks about himself in first person. In the third person. But it's one of those things. He didn't take himself too serious. It was all a shtick. It was all fun. I remember goating him into throwing BP because I said, Ricky, if I throw BP, you got to throw BP. He's out there working on his BP. He was a pleasure. And he was a great, great guy. And that's like I said, when you play for a lot of years, you look at the other team and sometimes you don't like the way the guy walks or the way he talks, and you get to know him, and it's like, oh, that's why I hated meeting pitchers over the years. It's like I hated you
forever.
And then I'd be at a golf event in the winter, and I'd meet him, and I'm like, son of a bitch, he's a good guy. I shouldn't have met him because it took away my edge.
Yeah, ruined your image. Love it, man. Thank you, Booney.
Booney, great stuff as always. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks, guys.
That was Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Bone, brought to you by Grainger with professional-grade products for every industry. Grainger has you covered. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I mean, Ricky loved baseball so much that he played for the San Diego Surf Dogs after his career was over for Terry Kennedy, just because he loved playing baseball. I mean, he wasn't making any big money or anything. It was a terrible team, and he still wanted to keep playing.
I love it.
Unbelievable. All right, we'll come back. We really only have like an hour left until we turn things over to Sammy Leavitt, but he will be in studio. We'll also play some Take on Woods, and we got some audio for you in our reset from Detroit again that we need to play. All coming up with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.